We are continuing our journey through Romans chapter 8, the one that John Piper describes as the greatest chapter in the Bible. And last week we talked about walking not by the flesh, but walking by the Spirit, as was seen in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And we looked at this in our purpose of becoming more and more like Christ and how we do that. We saw the picture of the dog, the two dogs, one that represents feeding our spirits and becoming more like Christ, the other represents feeding our flesh. And so what we learned last week, that is if we mind, if our focus is on the things of the Spirit and our desires are there, well, then we'll be strengthened. And so that's the minding. And if we kill off the things of the flesh intentionally and ruthlessly, then we're starving the bad dog. So we looked at that last week. Today, we are going to talk about being adopted as sons and daughters of the Father. I will tell you that this says sons because sons are the ones who would get the inheritance. It's a technicality. I'm going to say sons and daughters. So if you want to talk further, you can email or whatever. But today we're going to look at adoption and how God has paid the price through the death of the Lord Jesus to adopt us as sons and daughters. My brother and sister are 9 and 11 years older than me, and I was a late surprise by my parents. My mom was 41 when she had me, didn't think she could have children, and my dad was 45, so I was a surprise. And I remember one of the things that my sibling said to me, it's one of those things that siblings say to younger siblings, you know, you're not special because you've not been adopted. But David and I, or Diane and I, are adopted, so we're special. It didn't bother me. The only thing I remember from the conversation is that David and Diane are special because they're adopted. And theologically, that's right on the money. Because you can have an unexpected surprise pregnancy or even an unwanted one, but you can't have an unwanted adoption. Many parents pay top dollar to adopt children. And the point I want you to hear is that adopted children are wanted. And we will see that God wants us as his children. And Jesus paid the price with his life. So today we're going to see what that means. So last week, read chapter 8, verse 9. If you have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within you, you belong to God. And then we saw the opposite of that, which is, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, you don't belong to him. It's sobering. Today we're going to see that if we are following the lead of the Spirit, we are sons or daughters of God. If not, we're not adopted. So we want to make sure that we have been adopted. So today we're going to see two things. We're going to see how we can be liberated from slavery and falling back into fear if we have been adopted and belong to God in a special status as his children. And we will also see what it means to be led by the Spirit, how we do that. So the first thing we want to look at is sons or daughters are liberated from slavery. Chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Now, what does it mean to be a son or a daughter of God? Many reading this letter would have understood exactly what Paul meant because they come from a Jewish background. Jesus was Jewish, all the disciples were Jewish, and many people in the early church were Jewish until Paul, the missionary to the Gentiles, was instrumental in seeing the church grow. So when they said that you are a son of God, they would have thought back to Deuteronomy that they are God's people who were chosen by God. God's chosen people. Out of all the nations, all the peoples, for no reason in particular, God chose the Hebrews as his very own people. And so Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 says, you are the sons of the Lord your God. You're the sons of the Lord your God. And then it goes on to explain how you should live differently. One of the greatest movies, I hope you get to watch this if you have time, is Fiddler on the Roof. And if you want to think about what it meant to be a Jew, just look at this Jewish community in Russia set back many, many years ago. And there's Tevye, and he is singing the song, tradition, tradition. That's what they did. And that's what Jews did. And that's what we do, as we saw. We are different from the world around us as adopted sons and daughters of the Father. In their case, it was a list of rules and regulations, what they ate, what they didn't eat, what they dressed, what they wore to dress, what they didn't dress, how they lived, how they worshiped. But they knew from Genesis 22 that through them, through their offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed as they obeyed. We're going to look back at what it means to be led, but first I want us to look at what it means to be liberated. We're going to look at what it means to be led by the Spirit, but first, what does it mean to be liberated as sons and not to fall back into fear? Verse 15 expands on 14. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back for, of the contrast between being a slave and being a son. So you did not receive a spirit of slavery when you were adopted to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Abba, Father. When you think of Fiddler on the Roof, just think tradition. And you know from having been in church before how many laws that the Jews had to follow, 613 positive and negative, and all sorts of regulations, phylacteries, etc., etc., etc. And it goes on and on and on. And Paul sees a stark contrast between all the cumbersome regulations that you had to follow and the freedom that is seen in Jesus, for example, in Mark chapter 2 and in Mark chapter 3, verse 1. In Mark chapter 2, we see Jesus offending the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the scribes, because he is eating with sinners and tax collectors. When they complain about it, Jesus' response is, I didn't come for the healthy, I came to the sick. Isn't that what God's purpose is for us, is to redeem? But when we get confused in all the regulations, it's slavery. In chapter 3, verse 1, we see some more of this kind of stuff that distracts us from being adopted as sons and daughters. Jesus healed the person with the withered hand on the Sabbath. And so they complained about that. And then, of course, Jesus said, wouldn't you pull your animal out of a ditch on the Sabbath? Come on. Matthew 23:23 shows the extent of this. Woe to you Pharisees, you scribes, you hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and neglect the weightier things of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. All I'm trying to say is all of the regulations and the things that we do, and it's not just trying to follow Judaism or whatever Christian regulations. We do this in our life because deeply ingrained in our hearts, all people's hearts, is to work for approval. That if we are moral and if we behave in this and that and we're not too bad in that, then we're accepted. God's saying, no, that is not how it works. You got the Ten Commandments and the two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you try to do it by following all the regulations, it doesn't feel relational. It doesn't feel authentic. It is not of the Spirit. It's slavery. It's more like filling out your IRS forms so that you won't get in trouble versus forming relationships with the sinners and tax collectors and not worrying too much about others what others think. See, there's two ways that we can get ourselves in trouble in this regard. And they're more subtle than we think. And neither of them is good. We try to keep our own code of conduct so that other people will see us as a good person. We want to be well-liked. We want to be respected. And there's in and of itself, that is a good thing. But if that is our identity as I'm a good person, I'm not as bad as that person, see, it's two things are going to happen. Number one, that's a form of pride. And number two, if we're so concerned about looking good and following our conduct, we're going to neglect reaching out to others. And those that are adopted by the Father and those that are led by the Spirit have a heart for those outside. But I can tell you, friends, that it is all too easy to get sucked into doing things because you care so much about what people think. You want to do well. You might be afraid, slipping into fear, of what might happen if you don't work. We talked about this a few weeks ago. When we think that God is a terrible taskmaster, we worry about losing our status. We worry about getting yelled at or getting beaten. But verse 15 says this. It says, you did not receive a spirit of slavery. That's the past where we were enslaved to our sin. We saw that last several weeks looking back at Romans 7. But not to become a slave, to fall back into fear. But you received the spirit of adoption as sons or daughters by whom we cry, Abba, Father. But our entire society, our entire world, as Hebrews 2:15 says, is that Jesus came to deliver all those through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That's why he came. He came so it was possible for us to be adopted. As sons, life is totally different. The contrast could not be more stark. The spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Being a son is the opposite of being a slave to fear. It means that we don't have to be afraid. His perfect love really does deliver us from slavery. It casts out, it expels all fear, says 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casts out all fear. And so if we have been adopted by the Father, several things happen. Number one, our relationship is secure. We're not afraid of not performing. We're not afraid of failure. We're not afraid of falling out of favor because we have been adopted into the family. So we are sons. Now, the Jewish people in the Roman church would understand this to be God's chosen people, adopted by God, chosen by God. Because they're in Rome, they would have, when they hear adoption, they would have understood the elaborate ceremony that takes place for someone to be adopted. They would have known that when you are adopted, a price is paid, your debts are canceled, anything you've done in the past has been expunged, and you get a new name. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's what God did through Christ on the cross. We went from sinners who can't stop sinning to saints who sin. To show how permanent adoption is, William Barclay, the British scholar, tells of how Emperor Claudius didn't have an heir to become the next emperor, and so he adopted Nero. And Nero, even though he was adopted, and it isn't like that's Claudius' adopted son, no one says that, that's Claudius' son, to the extent that he was so concerned with securing his position as the next emperor, he decided that he wanted to lock it in by marrying Claudius' daughter, Octavian. And there was a problem, though, because he didn't want to be unadopted, right? So he's trying to marry the daughter. The problem is legally, because he's adopted, he was considered a brother, a family member. So they had to get the Senate to approve it. Here's the fact. God paid in his blood to have a relationship with you and with me. And he doesn't want us to be slaves. We didn't receive a spirit of slavery that leads us back into fear. We received a spirit of sonship or a spirit of daughtership. It's God's intent. That's why he came to earth. We can't miss that. So the first thing is we have security. Our relationship is secure. The second thing is we have confidence that we belong. With this relationship, there is confidence that we are loved. We get the new name, which is a family name. Our debts have been paid. We've been adopted. And now we belong to the family. Third is intimacy. As an adopted son or daughter, we have an intimate relationship with the Father. That's why it says, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now, who was it that adopted us? Going back to verse 9 again, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Well, if we do belong to Christ, then if we have Christ's Spirit living within us, would it surprise you that we would find ourselves praying the same way that Christ prayed? If we look at the end of Mark chapter 14, verse 36, Jesus is in the garden praying before he is arrested and crucified. And he's asking God, he's pleading with God, if it's possible, can you take this cup away from me, this terrible thing that's going to happen is crucifixion. Here's what verse 36 says. And he said, Abba, Father, all these things are possible for you. All things are possible for you, excuse me. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. The intimacy that Jesus has with the Father is how the early church prayed. That's why Paul says, as adopted sons and daughters, we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. I want to invite you to try that. Try and, instead of saying Lord or whatever, say Dad. See how that goes. See how that feels. It, for most of us, that can seem very irreverent. And sometimes the people that have moderately moral pasts, they don't have some sort of obviously broken past, sometimes they're the ones that are the hardest to have a real intimacy with Christ. Now, when I hear Jesus praying, Abba, Father, I always think of one of Jesus' closest disciples. This is the one that was there at the cross. She was there when they put his body in the tomb, and she was there on Resurrection Sunday, and she was super stressed and alarmed because when she got there, the tomb was empty, and she believed that someone had stolen the body. And Mary Magdalene, the one that Jesus healed, and we see in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, that she was healed of demonic spirits. No one ever treated anybody like Jesus treated her. Didn't want anything from her. Loved her like a daughter, like a sister in the purest, most holy love. And she's devastated. And it's almost funny. It's beautiful, really. John 20:16. She's asking Jesus, where did they take the body? And then Jesus says her name. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Can you sense the intimacy that God desires to have with us? We're going to look at what it means to be led by the Spirit next, to follow the Spirit. It starts with realizing why the intimacy. Look at verse 15. The end of it, it says, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. It's not like Mary Magdalene realized that it was the risen Christ and she said, oh, hi. She didn't say that. She cried out with joy and clung to him. As we get to know how awesome our Father is, we begin to get emotional when we meet with Him. Sons of God are defined by something that is strongly felt. It's a desire, a passion, a strong inner conviction, or a deeply felt compulsion that we want to express. It's shown in our lifestyle. So it does have an emotional component. We're liberated from our slavery as we are adopted as sons, and perfect love casts out, drives out, expels all fear. At the beginning of verse 14, it is actually the most critical part of this passage. Sons are led by the Spirit. That's the second point. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. What this means is the opposite is true. If we are not led by the Spirit, then we are not adopted. So we need to look and see, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Being led, the word for led there, has the idea of being drawn along by something strongly felt, a desire or a passion. It means to move or to be impelled along by a force, some influence that's affecting the mind. We can see parallel passages as we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul's parallel passage to all this. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Very similar. If you're led by this, if you're compelled to follow the Spirit, you're not under law. It's no longer letter of the law, it's Spirit of the law. On a very negative verse that describes people to look out for, in 2 Timothy 3:6, it says, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. People who worm their way into weak-willed women and their passions carry them away. This is contrasted by Romans chapter 7, how in verse 5 it talks about how our sinful passions are aroused by the law, how that's how we're led astray. In verse 6 of Romans chapter 7, it's the only time that the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Romans chapter 7, it says, "But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive," as slaves, right? "So that we serve in the new way of the Spirit." We serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. We do things totally different. A strong inner motivation drives us to follow, and that strong inner motivation is following the Spirit. Look at what happened with Jesus. Right after he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit descended on him, and then it says in Luke 4:1, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil." Being led by the Spirit. What does the Spirit lead us to? Well, Jesus tells us what the Holy Spirit does in John chapter 16, verse 13. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." So, we are liberated from slavery to fear. We no longer fall back into fear because we are loved, adopted, accepted, secure, have purpose and meaning. And we are led by the Spirit as sons. So what does this mean? It means that if we are led by the Spirit, we belong to God, that we are his sons. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, the last two verses of our passage today, gives us two more ways that show that we are or are not adopted children of the Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." What this is saying is that when we find ourselves drawn to following the things of God, there's something that happens internally within us that just says, this is who I belong to. Our spirit agrees with God's spirit and says, yes, this is who I am. I belong to him. That's a little bit harder to discern. Verse 17 is a little more black and white. Verse 17 says, "And if children, then heirs," which is talking about a wonderful inheritance. We'll talk more on that in the weeks to come. "Then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him." Verse 17 is talking about the amazing future that awaits us. We will look at this in the future. But the last line of this text is extremely important. If we suffer with him, it means that we are willing to be led by the Spirit and go where he leads us as we trust him. As we trust him that we are just passing through everything that's happening here in this life. So we don't fret, we follow. It also means that we are committed to becoming more like Christ. And that means that when Jesus corrects us through godly people and other situations, we are receptive to that. It's a form of suffering, usually a subtle form. But the question is, if we belong to Christ, how do we respond to that? If we respond well, it's a good sign. All those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. They no longer have a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, they are adopted as sons and as daughters. they are loved. And they cry out, Abba Father, Daddy Father. So here is the question as we prepare to go into communion. Do you identify as a son or a daughter of Christ? Can you hear yourself crying, Abba Father, or Rabboni? If not, my question is, why not? And I want to suggest, and I want to encourage you in the strongest possible way, that today is your day. Jesus paid the price so that you can belong to Him and be adopted as a son or a daughter of God. Pray with me. If you would like, I invite you to repeat this. Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a rebel, that I fall short. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me. Secondly, Lord, I ask that you would come into my life, that your Spirit would come into me. And lastly, Lord, I ask that you would enable me to follow you, that I would have you, I would freely admit, I would confess that you are my Lord, and that I identify boldly as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and as one who has been adopted by the Father through the Son. If that is the desire of your heart, just say amen. And that is a way of beginning your walk with Christ. Well, the Lord bless you.